Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Sabe.
Hello, friends. Mike Airy. We'll see about that with the great Ron Say, the champion, the World Series MVP. He will be along shortly, but I wanted to bring in producer extraordinaire Corey Marino, who's got an encyclopedia-like mind when it comes to the football and a lot of sports in general. And we just want to check in with what's going on with the NFL. We're about the halfway point, wouldn't you say, Corey?
Yeah. Week 10 out of 18 weeks with a bye in there, so we're pretty much halfway.
So give us, like I said, you're our CRN's, CRN's senior NFL correspondent. Where do you see the league stand? Front runners? Any surprises? Any disappointments? What's going on?
I think the surprises and the disappointments are where the focus is. The surprise of the, maybe, not the century because he was Heisman, but way Jaden Daniels is, what he's doing with the Washington Commanders, bringing them from zero to heroes right now, is insane what he's doing.
Let's briefly talk about that, because the hated and vile Dan Snyder, he divested himself of the team after a little bit of off-the-field issues, you might say. And, you know, the Commanders, formerly the Redskins, they've, you know, under the Snyder regime, have had a terrible time of it.
Terrible.
And it kind of... It's interesting, of course, Jaden McDaniels has had a breakout season, but do you think it's about the quarterback or the ownership?
I think it's both. I think coaching as well. I think the ownership came in, cleaned house, and wanted to put their perspective, their values, and their way of things. And they did a clean slate. They brought in an older coach with Dan Quinn, who's been a head coach before and was definitely in the spotlight as a defensive coordinator for the Cowboys recently, and he came in, he replaced a head coach that was amazing in Riverboat Ron Rivera. So
the gambler.
Oh, and it's tough to get rid of him. Like, he unfortunately had to go with the old regime, but and then you bring in the young man in their offensive coordinator, who was the head coach for the Cardinals, Cliff Kingsbury, and he's used to working with these young, malleable college quarterbacks, and he started off slow with them, but now he's pushing it downfield, and I think it's a new top-to-bottom, foundation-up type organizational move, and it's fantastic.
Interesting. I know a lot. I have some friends who are Commanders fans, and they are ecstatic right now.
Yeah.
I have two groups of friends. One are Commanders fans, one are Vikings fans, and they're both very happy right now.
Ugh.
But stick around, you guys. The great Ron Say will be returning right after this break. We're going to talk to Brad Crager about some financial issues, you guys, so get your pen and paper out, make you guys some money. And so stick around. We'll see about that. CRN Digital Talk Radio, CRNTalk.com. Check out the RonSayShow.com. And of course, Ron's fantastic book, Penguin Power, available wherever fine books are sold. Stay with us.
Okay, we're going to swing right on over here to the Financial Coach's Corner with Brad Crager. And Brad, now that the election is over with, what effects do you think it'll have on the stock market?
You know, Ron, that's a great question. Nobody really understands or knows where the markets are going to go from day to day or from week to week or from month to month. But we can predict where they're going in the longer run. And that's based on current valuations and it relates to where you are at a starting point and where you're going to end up. When you have overvalued markets, you played baseball for what, 17 seasons, I think?
Neighborhood.
neighborhood. When you started off a season and you were hitting 500, did you think that was going to continue for the rest of the season, or did you kind of understand, hey, wait a minute, we might just, that might just be a blip?
The law of averages is going to kick in at some point in time because you have a history of what it looks like. So, yeah, it's going to taper off if you get that hot, or if it's that cold, it's going to heat up.
Okay. What you're saying is the law of averages, and in mathematical terms, we would call that reversion to the mean, or reversion to the averages, and they're averages for a reason. And our current markets are overvalued, but I do think they're going to go up, and go up quite a bit for probably the next 6 or 8 months or so, or at least until our new president starts tinkering with things. He's talking about impacting a lot of different things in our federal government, and playing with things. And I don't know what he's going to do, nobody does really, but things are going to change. There's M&A activity is going to spike. There's going to be regulations are going to come off, is really what the prediction is. And that should have a positive effect on the markets, but we're still starting from a high. And so when you think about where we're starting from and where we're headed to, at some point, the law of averages is going to kick in and it's going to impact things. We also have a $35 trillion deficit, and we've overspent for the last, 8+ years for various reasons. I'm not going to get into the politics of that, but that also led to inflation, which is impacting us as well. So short run, I think the markets are going up. Longer term, I think people should be cautious. That's kind of my two cents on it. And it is what it is.
Okay, there you had it, an early preview of what the stock market might look like in the near future. Thanks so much, Brad, for your comments.
Yep.
They still call me the Penguin.
Okay, we are back after the break. We'll see about that with our special guest, Jeff Dallenbach. And Jeff will be receiving a beautiful fruit gift basket courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's is the proud sponsor, partner of We'll See About That. Be sure to use my VIP code RONSAY when checking out at melissas.com. It's a real pleasure to have a professional football player, Jeff Dallenbach, joining us today. Jeff was a Wisconsin born and raised athlete who went on to prominence at the University of Wisconsin, was drafted and played 15 years in the NFL with the Miami Dolphins, the Green Bay Packers, the New England Patriots, and the Philadelphia Eagles. And I want to get more into Jeff's beginning, but first of all, I want to ask you about the Hurricane Milton that has been headed your way, and how are things? How are you surviving that?
Well, we were lucky. We came through it very well. I think we had some 50 mile an hour winds and actually very little rain, which they were predicted that we were going to get dumped on. But the lower part of the storm seemed to kind of fall apart as it came ashore, which very thankful. And some of our friends a little bit to the north got hit with some bad tornadoes, and obviously the West Coast did get hit pretty significantly where the eye went, to shore. But I haven't heard a whole lot of, death and that type of stuff with it. Hopefully it's just, some homes and things that got beat up and can be replaced.
Well, I did see on Instagram that the dome at the Tampa, Tropicana Field?
Tropicana Field.
Was torn off. I have not heard of any fatalities at this point in time. Florida has always been, a state that goes through that kind of stuff. California is more on the earthquake side of stuff. But how many of these things have you been through while living in Florida?
I've been through quite a few. I think I've been actually in the eye, I think, 3 or 4 times. And that is one of the most eerie feelings you'll ever find, that you go from 120-plus wind to dead calm, beautiful weather, and then the wind comes from the other direction and rips everything apart again. And that's a tough feeling. The nice part about a hurricane, if there is a nice part, is you usually do have a warning. The bad part is they spin off those tornadoes, and those you just never know about.
Yeah, I'm not anxious to find out about that experience. Earthquakes are good enough for me. They don't give you any warning. They just pop in, and of course, what was it back in January of 94 that we had that North big Ridge. One that shook us
yeah,
up?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've all come in contact with it, and I'm glad that you're at least in the moment out of harm's way. Want to switch over here to, you know, how your football career got started. You were raised in Wisconsin, and you went to the University of Wisconsin. And I'd like to know how your football experience went early on. Why were you destined to go to the University of Wisconsin? Was that your plan?
Not really. I grew up kind of as your average middle-class kid that liked competition, liked playing sports. I played baseball, hockey, basketball, kind of whatever the season was, whatever was going on. I have one older brother, 5 years older, who was a pretty good basketball player, football player, baseball player. So I kind of followed in his footsteps. And actually, when I got to high school, I decided I was going to play hockey instead of basketball because I wanted to do something different than he was doing. And it just, I lettered in three sports pretty much every year in high school and kind of kept growing. And football just kind of became the thing. And I was recruited pretty heavily. I had opportunities to go to pretty significant schools. And ironically, Bart Starr kind of played a role in me going to Wisconsin. He called me, which I still don't believe to this day that it was him on the phone, but I was kind of in shock. And he said that he would recommend staying in your home state and playing for the Wisconsin Badgers. And it kind of hit home. I said I knew my parents would like to go to all my games, and it made a lot of sense. So I ended up becoming a Badger.
Yeah, that's great. My when you mentioned Brett Starr, Bart Starr, pardon me, he was a part of, those first two Super Bowls that the Packers won. And he also happens to be my sister-in-law's favorite player of all time. And that she tells stories about the time that she met him, and she acted like she was, one of those. And it's hilarious. I tease her about it all the time. My wife also is Badger. She was at the University of Wisconsin in the mid-60s, and she had a great time there. I know that the Badgers do not have or did not have a baceball team. Weather didn't permit. But when the lake freezes over and it's, it looks like Alaska most of the time, dark and gloomy, was that a distractor as far as, coming to play football there? I know you have, a program now that I really do consider to be a nationally ranked top 25 school, and they've done a terrific job with that program over the years.
Yeah, the program has come on strong, and going back to those short, gray, gloomy days, being a Wisconsin kid, I didn't know any better.
Right.
And I really didn't even realize it until spending time in Miami and then going back as a Packer and being there in the fall, and all of a sudden I'm going to work in the dark and coming home in the dark. And it's like, that's just, I never realized it until I got away for a while.
Right.
And that's probably a little bit of why I do live in South Florida.
Understood. When I grew up in Tacoma, Washington, there's a lot of rain up there. And when it was raining in Tacoma, I thought it was raining everywhere, meaning everywhere in the world. And so there was no real advantage because when recess time came, I was out playing in the rain and the mud with my bat and ball. And I thought that everybody else was playing in the basement playing tetherball. And so later I found out that, that's not the way it is in Florida, Texas, Arizona, and California. They're out there playing in the sun.
Yeah, they call it the Sun Belt for a reason.
Yeah.
Jeff, when did you play organized football as a youth before, high school? When was the first time you put the pads on?
I started playing tackle football in eighth grade. When my area had tackle football. So, middle school, you started playing, and then I was played freshman and, through high school. And my high school coach was very big on not playing younger kids up on varsity. So, you know, believe it or not, I was a 6'2", 215-pound fullback as a freshman.
Wow. And, wow.
But freshman football.
You could have played on our team.
But yeah. I played fullback and defensive line and punted and kicked. It's kind of like I did a little bit of everything and just loved the game. And like I said, kind of grew with it and outgrew the other sports and worked out very well.
Yeah. Well, you know, you certainly had good size. As I was growing up in a boys club, I started playing tackle football a little bit earlier than you did. But one of the kids I was growing up playing football with was his name was Bobby Moore, and later became Ahmad Rashad, who used to be a wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. And I'm pretty sure that the Green Bay Minnesota rivalry was always a big game for you guys.
Yeah, it definitely was. Getting grown up in Wisconsin, you know, everybody was about the Packers, and I was right at that age where I can't really say I remember, like, you know, Super Bowl 1 and 2 and all that, because I was 63.
Right.
But I kind of, you know, as a young kid, I remember everybody talking about it and, you know, the names and gotten to know some of those guys. I said Bart Starr called me and Jerry Kramer I've actually gotten pretty friendly with, and almost was named Boyd Dollar Dellenbach at one point. So I was a big Boyd Dollar fan. And I guess my dad won that battle somehow. But
yes, he did. Yeah.
You know, you grow up a Packer fan. Ironically, though, I became a little bit of a Rams fan at one point. I liked their helmets.
Yeah. Very traditional. You know, I really enjoyed, you know, some of the older day football teams, the Steelers, the Packers, you know, that was a fun era to grow up with. And of course, my favorite team was the San Francisco 49ers. We're going to return after this short break with Jeff Dellenbach. Please stay with us.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than $1 a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than $1 a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Save. All right, we're back with We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Gary and our special guest, Jeff Dellenbach. Jeff, I want to get into a little bit about helping our fans understand a little bit about the life of a professional football player and the week of. You know, I've always wanted to ask a number of questions about, you know, what it's like on game day. How do you feel the day after game day? The amount of work that you go through preparing with film and in the weight room and the training table and all that stuff. Can you give us an idea of, you know, what it's like on a Monday returning from the game on Sunday?
Yeah, you know, Monday morning is always pretty interesting because, you know, you kind of open one eye and then the other eye and kind of check to make sure, you know, all your fingers are on your right hand, all your fingers are on your left hand. Can I move my elbows and just kind of get things going again? And then typically you go into mid-morning. You have to be at, you know, either facility to check in and meet with the trainers, doctor, if there's anything, you know, more significant than just an ache or pain. And you'll have some sort of a workout to kind of break a sweat, get your body going. And then you go in and you watch the game tape and you go through the game and kind of break it down and see where things, you know, went wrong, where things went well, and get on top of that. And usually get a little bit of an idea of the team you're playing that week. And some teams will take you out on the field and run you around. Some teams just kind of let you do your own thing. And then after that, your day off is a Tuesday. But your day off usually is, if you got any kind of aches or pains, you're expected to be back at the facility and be getting some kind of treatment, getting taken care of, probably getting, you know, one of your workouts in that you'll be required to get in the weight room at least twice during the week. And a lot of guys will do even more than that, you know, stretching and different type things. So even though it's a day off, it's really not a day off.
Correct.
And, you know, Wednesday, you're back at it from basically 8 in the morning till 5, 6 o'clock at night. And then even watching film at home on your own. You know, I always like to watch film with the guys and you talk about stuff. But then I would take it and get more specific about just my assignments and what I needed to know for that week.
Would the guys be meaning your fellow linemen or the entire offense, or how'd that work?
We would do a little bit of, total offense, but offensive linemen probably spend, I would say, 80% of their time in their own rooms and, you know, doing their own thing. Is the offensive line is a very tight-knit group, and you have to be because – you can't make all the calls. You can't make all the adjustments, you know, ahead of time, that once the ball snapped, things happen. And you just got to know what the guy next to you, how he's going to react to the situation. And, you know, he goes and blocks your guy, you block his guy, and you line up to do it all over again. And sometimes you go to the sidelines and the coach would say, how'd you guys pick up that blitz? And, well, I picked up this guy. And, well, why'd you pick up the safety? Well, that's, he crossed my face. So, well, who blocked your guy? And the fullback would walk over and say, oh, I got his guy because that's who crossed my face. And it's like, okay, keep doing it. It's like, you know, you'd like to say, yeah, we drew it up and designed it all. But a lot of it comes down to feel and just knowing that your buddy has your back.
Did you guys have contact in the middle, a lot of contact, like on a Wednesday possibly or Thursday?
Back when I was coming up, yeah, we were in full pads pretty much all week. The running joke for a bunch of years with Coach Shula was that we were in full pads on Fridays, which most teams in the league weren't at that point. But we would do our short yardage and goal line on Fridays, so we had to be in full pads.
So you had you have a scheduled routine for each day. You know what you're going to be going through, which I think is really important. What kind of a training table did you guys have? Did you guys have to, you know, eat together? Game day, you ate together? How did that work? Because I had a hard time trying to understand what a normal course meal would be on a Sunday morning playing a Sunday game.
Actually, it's kind of interesting because they would provide us with food, and you know, basically the day before the game, all your meals are provided. Day of the game, all your meals provided, and you know, typically it was breakfast because you know if you have a noon or 1 o'clock game, you'd eat about 3 hours before game time, and you know some guys wanted you know pasta, some guys wanted breakfast food, so you would have. A lot of times I'd eat like three meals in one because I would have, you know, my bacon and eggs. I would have a chicken breast. I would have, you know, some spaghetti. And, you know, it's like it's going to be 6 hours before I get to eat again. So we would load up pretty good. But, you know, you'd also have to be a little careful that you don't want to be carrying too much food onto the field with you.
That was exactly my question because, you know, for me as a player, you know, I like to eat very light prior to the game. And make sure that everything is digested and I'm kind of hungry. And for you, of course, I mean, when you're squaring off against a guy on the other side of the line that's just as big as you or bigger for 3 hours, getting the crap beat out of you all day long, that's tough. You know, I can understand the aches and pains and why football's only played once a week.
Yeah, there's no doubt that your body goes through a lot and, you know, fortunate to play a long time. I remember, you know, early on, I would get up, you know, Monday morning and, oh, I feel pretty good and, you know, go do things. And by the end, you didn't feel so good quite as quick. It took you, you know, some Wednesday or Thursday, you were still thinking, you know, am I going to be able to line up and play this Sunday?
Yeah, I've always wondered, you know, they used to do a study of the training camp when the Oakland Raiders used to train up in, Ojai? And they one day they had I think the team's caterer or whatever and the amount of food that was consumed in a day, and it's like God, I would hate to have to feed those guys three times a week.
Yeah, unfortunately, I still like to eat like that.
Yeah, well,
yeah, obviously, but yeah. I like my food, and you know, I think you know, I would have to guess that. Most of us offensive linemen were probably consuming, you know, at least 10,000 calories a day, you know, and more at times.
Well, Jeff, you mean you guys would burn that a lot too. Would you, in your conditioning, would you focus more on strength and more on stamina, a mix of it, the two? How much was speed part of your game?
You know, it's kind of evolved over time. And, you know, back when I came in 85, it was still, you know, kind of the, you know, how much can you bench press and, you know, how big and strong are you? Then it became more of, you know, a little more finesse. Speed became a little more important. And for some reason, I'd like to say I was smart, but I just kind of fell into a routine where I bought into flexibility. And, you know, I was like, how important is it for me to be able to, you know, bench press 500 pounds? As opposed to staying on my feet and not being on my back to push somebody off my chest. I want to be on my feet and, you know, use my strength. And so I kind of got into some looking at different ways of usable strength. And I actually coached for a couple of years with the Dolphins later on in the early 2000s. Jason Taylor, Zach Thomas were, you know, the big name players at the time.
Yeah.
And I watched those guys work out and, I don't think they ever bench pressed more than 225 pounds, but it was more of a functional type training that we're doing. And, you know, so it's evolved and, you know, obviously strength is still a big part of it, but usable strength, being able to move your feet and stay on your feet to, you know, to do those things and make use of the strength that you've developed.
So you're listed at 6'6". What was your ideal playing weight for you?
I think my mid-290s was really my sweet spot. I, you know, when I came in, my first mini camp with the Dolphins, I was weighing 292 coming out of Wisconsin and had a pretty decent mini camp, got on the bus to go back to the airport, and they came and called me off the bus, Coach Shula wants to see you. And it's like,
uh-oh.
Okay, is this a good thing? You know, I'm thinking that I had a pretty good camp. I walk in and He kind of looked at me and basically he was like, don't even bother sitting down, but just know you're too heavy. What'd you weigh? I said, 292. He said, you can't play for me at that weight. I want you at 270 or don't bother showing up for training camp. And you know, I walked out of there thinking, I don't think I've been 270 since I was a junior in high school. So I don't know how I'm going to get to 270, but you know, I tried. I reported at 280 and everything worked out and you know, ended up probably playing a lot more as a rookie than they ever had rookies play at that time.
How'd you cut that 12 pounds? Did you do the old sauna suit trick? Did you do the water and salt diet?
I was, again, I was trying just about everything because I was still living in Madison, Wisconsin, where, you know, it's still kind of cold. And I was running and doing different workouts, trying to watch what I'm eating and just, you know, anything and everything that somebody said, you can lose 2 pounds doing this. I pretty much tried it. And, you know, but losing weight and not losing your strength and all that, too, is, you know, it's kind of a slippery slope. So.
Yeah, well, it's like reminding me of a wrestler in high school or college or a boxer, you know, where they make the weight, and then by the time the match comes off, they've gained another 10 pounds.
That's so the most amazing thing about those sports, boxing, wrestling. Yeah. You know, they have the walk, they're walking around weight, which could be like 185, and right. then their fight weight, which is 165. And so the constant fluctuation, that's got to be tough.
Yeah, I would imagine it was. And actually, when you're speaking, you know, about, you know, dropping that weight, you know, I mean, how do you think that would have gone over in today's game? You were really be undersized at that point.
Yeah, definitely very undersized. And, you know, by the end of my playing time in Green Bay, my weight was 307. Okay. And I always felt that that was a little heavy, but I was very happy to have it because, you know, they can weigh you in and fine you if you're overweight. And most of the coaches I played for really didn't care that much as long as you showed up and played. But Don Shula was every Thursday you weighed in. And they took the weigh-in very seriously. And at that time, it was $25 a pound.
Uh-oh.
For a pound you were over. And if you're over, you weighed in every day until you made your weight again.
Yeah, I think I'm going to make the weight. And as a matter of fact, we're going to take a short break and be back with Jeff Dellenbach right after this.
And here's the pitch.
Want to score some runs with your family? How about an all-inclusive 5-day, 4-night vacation for 2 adults and 2 children at the Ocean Spa Hotel in Cancun for only $699? Includes airport pickup, hotel, and all food and drinks, including alcohol. And you can travel anytime in the next 12 months with no blackout dates. So visit CancunEscapes.com/radio to book a family vacation for 4 for only $699.
Going, going, gone with CancunEscapes.com/radio.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted a colonial with high ceilings, hardwood floors, and a peaceful neighborhood. And you found it. Now, every Saturday at 6 a.m., you get to wake to the sound of your neighbor's leaf blower. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Lowe's honors our military community this Veterans Day and every day. To say thank you, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get 10% off everyday purchases, plus free silver key status with MyLowe's Rewards. It's our way of showing our gratitude to the brave people who have and continue to serve our country. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This Thanksgiving at Total Wine & More, find bourbons and cabernets that you adore. Our helpful guides are so friendly and nice, so many bottles to try at the lowest price. So gather with friends as you sit down to eat, grateful for all who made Thanksgiving complete.
With curbside pickup and delivery available and the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find, only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Wendy's breakfast burrito has an entire breakfast in every bite. Fresh cracked eggs,
seasoned potatoes, American cheese, cheese sauce, and sausage or bacon. So the first bite is like fresh American cheese sauce. And the second bite is like fresh American cheese sauce. Bacon.
You get the idea. And now, get yours with a dollar any size soft drink. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Not valid in a combo. Exclusions apply.
The fans are rooting for the Dons.
And we are back. We'll see about that with the great Ron Say. I am Mike Gary, and this week in Dodger history, presented by BFF Financial. 1978, folks. Game 4 of the NLCS. Ron Say scores in the 10th inning on Bill Russell's two-out game-winning single, giving the Dodgers a 4-3 victory over the Phillies and their second consecutive National League pennant. Mr. Say, who walked after the first two batters were retired, advanced into scoring position when Gary Maddox misplayed Dusty Baker's fly ball into center field.
Yes, we did. We walked it off, and Bob Boone, the father of Brett, we had on here a couple weeks ago, reminds me of how it feels to be walked off going to the World Series. And, you know, we were fortunate. Gary Maddox, Gold Glove center fielder for the Phillies, just had a ball hit right at him and was coming in hard and got away from him and gave us an opportunity. And Bill Russell dumped his ball into center field, and I scored, and Dodgers win.
And the rest is history.
It is history.
Jeff, once again, thank you so much for coming on. And I've interviewed a lot of professional athletes over my tenure. This is the first time that I'm talking to a professional offensive lineman, because as a fat kid growing up, I played offensive lineman too in high school. And, you know, I played a lot of sports growing up, loved sports, loved football. And we did like kind of the backyard style where you're, you know, everybody's catching passes, everybody's kind of running, and you feel like, you know, so everybody's scoring touchdowns here and there. And then when I started to play organized football, I'm on the line. And so the joy kind of went out of the game for me a little bit because, you know, I'm pretty much doing one thing. I'm blocking people rather than running around catching passes and running into touchdowns. And so I want to ask you, how did you find joy in that position? Was it kind of the camaraderie with the rest of the guys? Was it working as a unit? Where did you find your pleasure?
Well, kind of ironically, like you, you know, all right, you should play offensive line. No, I want to play defensive line. I want to carry the ball. I want to, you know, So I tried my little stint at fullback, a little bit of tight end. And actually, when I was recruited, I was recruited as a defensive end by a lot of schools. Some schools were like, no, you're going to be an offensive lineman. I didn't want to hear that. So my freshman year at Wisconsin, I played defensive line. And coming back sophomore year, we had a couple offensive linemen that got in trouble in the classroom. So the head coach called us in and said, I need one of you to go to the offensive line. Well, the other three guys who played a lot in the defense line were all upperclassmen. So they turned and looked at me. I was like, gee, thanks, guys. And also I became an offensive lineman, which wasn't real happy the first few days of training camp that year. And I kind of bought into it, and I started realizing that you can have fun being an offensive lineman because there's a lot of things I can do. You know, I wasn't like, you know, I got to just sit back and let the defensive lineman beat on me like a lot of people think. I learned how to use my hands and probably do some things that if I did them out on the street, I'd be going to jail. But on the football field, we're allowed to do it.
It's interesting, you know, the rules for blocking during the time that you played in today's professional game have changed. And the protectiveness of the quarterback, the helmet-to-helmet things. How do you like the new way that the game is being played? And is it overprotective?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of where it's gone. And again, I get you want to take care of the players and it's about safety. And yes, I know a lot of guys who played before me and played with me. We have some issues going on because of the repetitive head, you know, traumas and different things. So I'm glad that they're trying to take care of them. But I don't think it's been necessary for the betterment of the game. And it's taken away a lot of time that they could teach football. So a lot of these guys playing professional football today, I don't think really know or understand the game like some of the old-time guys really bought into it and understood what was going on in the football field.
We have invited the scrum back into professional football. Do you like that?
Not really. It's, I'm kind of like, you know, you could never aid a runner before, and now all of a sudden it's okay to aid the runner. And I'm like, I'm not sure how that came about. And, the only tush push I ever knew was I was a long snapper. You know, after I snapped the ball, you had five guys that were lined up on you, you know, pushing each other and trying to get penetration to block the field goals. And right. Now you can't even line up on the long snapper. So that's changed in a big way.
It certainly has. Kickers today. These guys have always had terrific legs, but I have never seen kickers line up from 50 yards plus more this year than ever, and they're pretty accurate. How did that all of a sudden come about? Where are the metrics playing into this where it's okay to be trying these long field goals and actually put a lot of strain on your defense if you miss it?
Yeah, it's it's evolved into something pretty special that these guys, they were kicking something over 50 yards before, and now these guys, you watch them in practice and stuff, they can kick 65 yards quite competently, and it's like, where did it come from? And I think a lot of it is just the way that they've broken down the approach to the ball, striking the ball, the physics and all that behind it. But obviously it still comes down to leg strength and the other abilities that come into it. And I think becoming a kicker in the NFL has, got that prestige. And obviously it's a good job if you can get it. And there's only 32 of them in the league. So it's a lot of competition to get those jobs, and only the best of the best are out there.
Jeff, you are a Super Bowl champion. You played in Super Bowl 31, the Patriots and the Green Bay Packers. Tell us about your Super Bowl experience.
My Super Bowl experience was really very special. I started that season in New England on their roster.
Wow.
And actually running the conditioning test, I had a partial tear of my Achilles tendon.
Mm.
So I missed training camp, basically was rehabbing the whole time. I got back on the field for the first game, and they basically got enough tape on me to say, all right, you're healthy. And Bill Parcells, the head coach at the time, called me in and basically said, my policy, if you can't play for me, I'm not keeping you on the team, so I'm letting you go. I was like, okay. And I started walking out the door, and he said, oh, by the way, call Ron Wolf in Green Bay. He's very interested in you. So I was like, kind of walked out a little confused, I guess. Walked out, made a phone call, and Ron Wolf said, all right, you're getting paid for the first half of the season. Sit tight. We'll be bringing you up here. So middle of the season, got the call from Green Bay, ended up there, and things obviously went very well the rest of the season, and ended up playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl and beating my old team. So it was a very special time.
Jeff, so you win the Super Bowl. You're in New Orleans. What was that like after the game?
That was a great time. New Orleans, to me, is the best place to host that kind of an event. It's set up perfect for that. I played in another one in San Diego, and everything was kind of spread out. But New Orleans, it's like you could be there. They have the families at the family hotel, but it was, close enough that you could deal with them, but far enough away that you could get away from them so you could focus on what you were there for. And after winning the game, it's such a surreal time. And, being a Packer fan, a kid from Wisconsin, it was special going back home to play for the Packers and then to win and bring the Vince Lombardi Trophy back to Green Bay. There's just so many special things about my time in Green Bay.
No question about that. Plus, the Dome is not too far from Bourbon Street. There's a lot of partying going on. You can walk to the game. You can have a real good time. Yeah, I would imagine that was pretty special. And, of course, being able to reach the pinnacle of success is a feeling that I wish all players had an opportunity to experience.
Especially for the team that you kind of grew up rooting for, too. I mean, that's got to be super, super special.
Well, sure. I mean, right here in your backyard, you get to play for the Green Bay Packers, and you're from Wisconsin, and you went to Wisconsin. And, yeah, that had to be a very special thing, not only for you, but for the people who supported you in Wisconsin.
Definitely, my whole family, mom, dad, everybody got to be there and enjoy Bourbon Street and, enjoy the victory afterwards with us. And, and the Packers, they knew how to do things right by not having an owner being owned by the city.
Correct. That's right.
They weren't so tight with the purse strings. They took care of the players and did things up the right way.
Yeah. Besides, obviously, Green Bay, did you have a favorite coach that you enjoyed? I mean, I'm not going to put Bill Parcells up at the top of your list right now, but but did you have fun playing for Shula?
I enjoyed playing for Shula. He was very tough, hard-nosed, old-school type of coach, and a ton of respect for the man. We won a lot of games, did a lot of things, with Dan Marino at quarterback, scored a lot of points and had a lot of fun that way. Obviously, my time in Green Bay, special. Holmgren was a great coach for a guy later in his years. Like, I went in there in my 11th, 12th year, and he took care of the older players. So that was a great time. But a guy who I really grew to respect and played for in Philadelphia was Andy Reid. And you just saw him at a young head coach. He was a special guy. You knew there was going to be bright things in his future.
Yeah, no question about that, too. You know, I think he's universally admired for the work that he's done.
Absolutely. Jeff, we're running short on time here. I just want to ask one question here. It's a two-parter. Okay, so during your illustrious career, who was the toughest guy for you to block? And also, who was one of the best linemen or the best lineman you've ever seen?
You know, those are two great questions because there's so many good guys that I had the opportunity to play against and play with. The guy that I kind of have to, and fortunately that I actually played against him and played with him, and much rather have him on my team, but Reggie White is the first guy that comes to mind. That he was just a guy that, he was strong, he was smart, he was quick. He knew how to use his abilities, and he was a great leader. So, just the utmost respect for him. Obviously, I had longtime bouts with Bruce Smith. We came in the same year, played against each other for 10 years, twice a year. He had a lot of talent. Howie Long was a great guy, a great competitor to play against. So, a lot of people, a lot of great talent that I played against. And then the one guy that I probably would say that I played with as an offensive lineman was Dwight Stevenson, who was the center when I came.
I remember him too.
And, I never played center prior to being here. And, Dwight was a superstar, so nothing's ever going to happen to Dwight. I took a couple of snaps in practice when Dwight needed a drink of water. And Monday night, Dwight's on the field hurt. And the offensive line coach walks in the huddle. I'm playing right tackle. And he looks at me and says, you got to go. I'm like, I got to go where? And Roy Foster, the left guard at the time, goes, you're playing center. I'm like, what? All right. So basically my first ever live snap was against Joe Klecko on a Monday night football game. And I was just praying that I didn't break Dan Marino's hand when I snapped the ball. And ended up working out pretty well. The next week we played in Philadelphia. They moved Reggie White to the nose for the whole game. So that was an interesting battle, but things ended up working out pretty good. And, I used Dwight quite a bit. I would talk to him and say, okay, what do I have to do against this guy? What am I doing this week? And he would, he kind of mentored me early on.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad he was as helpful. He was a great player, and you've mentioned some incredible names that you've played against, and what an experience with so many stories to tell.
Yeah. I just want to add one more name here. We just lost him recently. What did you think of Larry Allen?
Larry Allen was, he was one of those guys who just had great talent, great size, great strength, understood the game. That's one of those guys where, there's a lot of great players, but then there's that little echelon that takes some of these guys to that, one of a kind, and he obviously deserves that kind of recognition. He was a special one.
All right, Jeff, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a real privilege listening to your stories. I wish you continued success. And I hope that you stay out of that hurricane's eye. Be well and be safe. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
And we will be right back with We'll See About That after this message. This is baseball's Ron Say. Nowadays, it seems like nothing is built to last. Phones, appliances, cars, computers, but the new Michelin Defender 2 tire is designed to outlast. With a quiet and comfortable ride, you will have the confidence you need on the roads, whether they're wet or dry. So goodbye to the short-lived and hello to something that lasts. Get your set of Michelin Defender 2 tires at Hank's Tires, 19951 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills. Call my buddy Steve Goldberg at 818-340-4200. That's 818-340-4200. Hank's Tires is also built to last. Hank opened Hank's Tires in 1953, and we are the oldest tire and auto repair shop in the San Fernando Valley with 100% customer satisfaction. Hank's is AAA approved for all of your auto repair needs. Call Hank's Tires at 818-340-4200 and tell them Ron Say sent you.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron, how you doing?
Can't be just fine.
Hey, say, how you doing it?
One game at a time.
There you are, at these dulcet tones of Ron Say. Not only an MVP of the World Series, but the MVP on this record right now. I believe he's got all the copies in his garage, so I can reach out to him. I'm joined by Corey Marino, producer extraordinaire, CRN's senior NFL correspondent. And we have something in common, Corey.
What do we have?
We're both Broncos fans.
Woo, baby. And they're on their way back, it seems.
Give us the Broncos report.
So, I've talked about it. I think it's a resurgence of the Orange Crush. We have a great defense. We're third in points against with 15. We have the best corner in the league. And we have a bunch of, not no names, but these smaller name people that are coming together under Vance Joseph, which weirdly, it doesn't happen very often, but a coach coming back, he used to be the head coach of the Broncos, got fired, and then came back under Sean Payton to be a defensive coordinator. So taking a being relegated to the defensive coordinator is just astonishing to be humble and come and perform, and he's got that group performing.
That's a very interesting thing to do, a hard thing to do, to supplement your ego like that and come back to a place where you're fired and take a lesser role. So kudos to that man. If I didn't mention Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, Jeremy Dayton would come in here like the Kool-Aid man and take care of us. So,
oh, especially after beating the Broncos 40-something.
I know. He was very ecstatic about that. Real fast, we had about a minute and a half left. Let's talk about the Rams.
The Rams. I think they're hitting a stride. Their last two games they won. They got Puka back for maybe half a quarter, and then he punched someone, got ejected from the game. Cooper Kupp coming back strong, getting healthier every day. And they got some ancillary pieces, and they have two rookie defensive linemen who are at the top of rookie pressures, and it's fantastic what they're doing, and Sean McVay's working his magic once again.
All right, there you have it, folks. All right, real fast, Corey, your predictions for the Super Bowl. Who's going to be the two teams representing the AFC and the NFC, and who will be the winner?
The winner's hard, but I think it's Lions-Ravens, and I'm going to go with the Ravens.
Jeremy's not here today, so you can
honest. I know. It felt like I had a gun to my head, but no. I feel like Lamar gets it done this year.
I would be ecstatic to see the Detroit Lions win a Super Bowl. I believe they haven't won one in over 30 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, Megatron never got one.
Oh, Megatron, you know, what a man.
What a man indeed. But it's going to be a fun couple weeks leading up to the end of the NFL season, all the way into the Super Bowl, plus college football. So one of the greatest times of the year right now. We got NFL, we got college football, we got NBA, and so much more. Thank you, Corey. Thank you so much for joining us here. We'll see about that with the great Ron Say, the legend. Check out his website, theronsayshow.com.